Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings in the name of the Lord and welcome to Warn Radio. This is Tower. I'm here with the Watchman and we are glad you joined us. Please send all your prayer requests and correspondence to us through our contact page at warn-usa.com. And you can listen to our Warn Radio episodes on danaglennsmith.com and warn-usa.com. Warn Radio is on the following platforms: Amazon Prime Music and Podcast, Spreaker, Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Deezer, Spotify, Anchor, and Pocket Cast. And do not miss the featured posts this week of our in-depth biblical articles and radio shows, featured on both warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com, the Materializing of Evil series, which includes Orion's Shadow and the Lightbearer. Featured on Dana Glenn Smith, Aphertief, Coming Son of Perdition, Comforters of Job in Times of Trouble, America, Shadows of Misdirection, Witness of Jesus and the Word of God, and featured on warn-usa.com, Lion and Prophet Biblical Truth, All Things Possible, Afghan Christians, South Sudan, China Wars, Redeemed, Christian Faith Persecution Advocacy, Classic Warn Radio, and Book of Hebrews, Son of God, Great Salvation, Part 2. And do not miss these WIBR Warn Radio weekly shows on Wednesday's Advocacy from March 27th, Gospel of Peace, Word of God, Missions, Believers, Faith of Jesus, and Advocacy. Thursday's Battle Line from March 28th, Loving Kindness, Isaiah's Prophetic Book, Part 211. And Friday's Sound the Shofar from March 29th, The Word of the Lord, Nations, Promises, Phrases, and Perpetuity, Part 12a. And be sure to get your copy of The Rising. It's a Christian fiction thriller by the Watchman Dana G. Smith, a story of personal survival, the struggle of a nation, the love of two people set amidst the prophetic landscape of perilous times. Hidden within the storyline of The Rising is the truth of what's happening in America now. Check out The Rising. When he who opposes rises, believers overcome by faith. And you can get your copy of The Rising on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Ingram, Walmart, Angus & Robertson. And The Rising ebook can be found on Google Play. You can also get your copy of The Rising by going to danaglennsmith.com. And we visit our Christian Books and Resource Shop, where we feature The Rising and other Christian books, as well as resources from our Vision Media. And now, I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good on this Thursday.
Yes, March 4th, 2024.
Yep, March.
April.
Actually, today it was warm and nice.
Yes, it was beautiful.
We don't get many of those in the spring. You know?
Yeah.
So I was glad to have that kind of a day. Now, if you're down south, you know, they've been planted for a while. But, so it's a lot of difference. I don't know about California.
Well, they probably got some planting going on.
I'm sure they do. For some reason, they seem to always be warm out there. That's where everybody goes if they want to be warm.
Well, I think they're moving out now.
Yeah, I think you're right. They're moving out because there's an issue there.
Well, hopefully that'll be cleared up soon.
Yep. Well, we are here with another edition of our Isaiah series. And we're going down the line to finish this chapter up. And then you're going to have three more chapters. So we're excited to conclude this study.
Yes, we are.
So, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Days of Old, Isaiah's Prophetic Book, Part 212, on Battle Lines. Days of Old is now foreshadowing all the trouble that Judah faced. In fact, we know that the Lord God will also bring the northern tribes back from the nations. Yet for Judah and the northern tribes, Isaiah brings us very close to the end of the book that Isaiah is writing. A hard, bitter road was followed, but the Lord's mercy provided for Israel and brought them back. But still, remembering what God has done in their life, and for that matter, for all lives whose hope is in the Lord, is paramount. The understanding here is amidst the trouble, pain, and backsliding, Israel is finally out of bondage, back in the land. Israel here is summing up, and Isaiah here is summing up and ending with hope and salvation of the Lord. Now back to you. I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. Isaiah 63:11. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses, his servant and his people, saying, "Where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him?" And you know, I like this because then he remembered the days of old, Moses, his servant. And it delineates Moses, his servant, and his people. And so we've got the whole shebang here. But the thing of it is, you know, they're looking back. And when you look at how far Israel fell, you know, they were divided. I mean, look at all the stuff that went on since Moses. They finally made it into the Promised Land. And as long as they had David there, and then, of course, they had the Kingdom of Solomon, after that, it was divided. And the northern tribes in Israel weren't exactly buddies. The northern tribes went their own way when it came to religion. They were carried away, and then Judah wouldn't listen, even when Jeremiah talked to him, he appealed to them to repent. And Jeremiah was in Jerusalem when the forces of Babylon came in, and they said, "Wherever you want to go, Jeremiah, that's okay. If you want to stay here, stay here. If you want to go, go." And so you know, when we look at where Moses comes in at, and Moses is a prophet of old, he's the only one of the of the prophets that spoke with the Lord God face to face. And where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him? And that's being put within Moses, because Moses was a major prophet. And it just a lot of interesting things here, because we find in Isaiah 63, and, you know, we've gone through the entire book, you know, and we've had a lot of, you know, times where, you know, the prophecies coming from Isaiah, and the prophecies even from the other prophets, you know, was heavily judgment. And now we're getting into a point where, you know, you see him, you know, in the verses, they were saying, where is he that brought them out of the sea? Where is the Lord? Why isn't the Lord with us? And remember Moses. And, you know, the people all had to have been thinking about that when they were far away and they had a lot of troubles. They, you know, God had sent them into judgment in Babylon. Man, I'll tell you, that is about as far away from the glory of Moses and the people of Israel being delivered and the times of David and, you know, all the rest. There were some glorious times, but boy, I'll tell you, this one is setting up the whole picture here. And it's kind of the flow of things that we look at, that we see an attitude that, you know, they're getting out of that where they're in judgment. They're finding their way to the end. They're remembering the Lord. They're remembering the things they need to be doing instead of the things they shouldn't be doing. And so one thing Kyle and Delish says is, and when you're beginning this, beginning to move forward into things, he calls it evidently human longing. And it's what begins the people which begin the inquiries, you know. It that comes after a long, hard road, you know. You begin to question, are we going to, you know, be this way all the time? Do you remember when Moses was there and he talked to God personal? You know, you remember the time in the mount when God was on the mountain and we were all frightened to death because of what we saw? You know, that you're talking about a total eclipse on the other side from what it was. And so that's what we're looking at with this verse. But I've got a few other verses I want to kind of bring up to remind you some of the things that center around this. Deuteronomy 4, 29 through 31. And Deuteronomy 29, of course, through 31. This is the law. And so there's blessings if you stay with God. There is not blessings if you don't stay with God. And even for Christians, even for today's New Testament, it's the same way. You know, if you know, you fall away, you know, God's going to chase you. That's what Paul says. He's going to chase you as a father does a son. You know, it's not good. You fall away, God's going to try to bring you back, and it's not going to be a happy, happy time for you. You know, but if you stay with God and you do what you're supposed to do and you seek him and love him, then there's going to be blessings. And when you look in the law is the same way, man, except you've got the law written down, and by every jot and tittle of that law, you have to obey. Well, see, they also had to conform to the Day of Atonement, because forgiveness cannot be obtained through the keeping of the law. By the keeping of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now see, a lot of, you know,
You know, when they look at the at the law, you know, Israel, you know, they kept the law. But there's sometimes, like when Jesus came, you know, the Lord, and he was talking to the leaders, he was talking to the Pharisees, he told them outright, he says, you guys don't even keep the law, you know. And they were always getting on the Lord because he healed on the Sabbath, and they castigated it. He provided a total miracle, a guy that had, you know, couldn't walk his entire life. And the Lord said, hey, you want to be healed? Rise. Take up your bed and walk. Well, that's where they got mad. They're ready to kill him over the fact that he told the guy to rise up, take up your bed and walk. Because when the Pharisees saw him, they saw the fact that he was carrying something, and that's against the law. Well, see, there's weightier issues with the law, which is love. Love fulfills the law. And so, in this one, Deuteronomy 29 through 31, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God. Now, this is when you're having trouble. This is in the law. He's addressing Israel. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Now, that's a good verse, not just for them back there. That's good for Christians. That's good for people who have backslid. That's good for a lot of people when you tell them, how do I know, you know, where I'm at with the Lord or whatever? You know, you read the New Testament. Well, you just get into this verse here, and it says, thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. Now see, if you follow the New Testament, you'll know that Jesus said, you shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all my mind, with all my soul. And the second important commandment was, love thy neighbor as thyself. And so, as much as you say that we're under grace, when you get into the Gospels and what the Lord tells us we need to be doing, you find face to face with things you need to do. And in verse 30, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, and I like that, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice. See, now the whole context of this is Israel keeping the law and Israel not keeping the law. So Israel found themselves a lot of time not keeping the law. They found themselves with people like Ahaz and Jezebel, who were totally corrupt and led the people in a wrong way. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God, and he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware to them. But if they fall away, you know, they don't have a covenant anymore. You got to stay there, just like a Christian. You know, 1 John says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can't just accept the Lord and walk out and start, you know, sinning like you did before. There is a difference. And so that just gives you a little background here to what we're looking at. See, Israel coming back. Israel looks, and they're thinking about Moses, they're thinking about the Lord, thinking about all the things God did for them, and they're still not where they're, you know, they're newly back, and they're just, you know, are we going to be able to do this? And the law tells them, you know, you got to seek him with all your heart, mind, and soul. You know, you can't just let a little bit of trepidation, a little bit of worry get in there. You got to get rid of that stuff and seek the Lord and be done with it. And you'll be glad you did. In Jeremiah 2:6, and this is Jeremiah again, of course, and this is in the beginning of Jeremiah, and he's talking about Israel. Now, see, this is the same thing as we're talking about, you know, in Isaiah. Jeremiah 2:6 says, neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts, of pits, through a land of drought, of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, wherein where no man dwelt. In other words, Jeremiah was saying, these people, while they're backsliding, he was trying to warn them. No one was sitting there saying, well, where is the Lord? You know, we're sitting here, we're having trouble, we're facing judgment. Jeremiah's telling us all this stuff that's going to happen. Where is the Lord? Well, you fell away from him. And so these are the same things when we, and when it says up here in Deuteronomy, when thou art in tribulation and all these things are come on upon you, that's when they fall away and there's trouble, you know. And they're starting to say in the verse we began, you know, they want to know this. You know, they're starting to think about that. So these are the issues. When you begin to backslide and you start running into trouble, you know, there's going to be times that the Lord is going to try to reach you where he will, you know, you'll begin thinking about this. You know, I remember the times when I was happy when I was saved. I remember the times when I had peace. I remember the times when I was praying about everything and God answered. But see, when you get in doubt and you wander off and God ain't providing for you because you're not where you need to be. And there is a maturity that you have to nurture. And so Jeremiah says that, neither said they, referring to the children of Israel, actually to Judah. But he says this in verse 8, the priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Now, I hate to tell you this, America, but we're talking about Israel. The priest said not, where is the Lord? Well, today we need a few priests, we need a few pastors, and we need Christians to say, where is the Lord in America? Why are we not following the faith that began this country? Why have we decorated our children up as pagans? Why have we taught them to do wrong? Why do we have such bent politicians? Why is our justices and our judges corrupt? And all of that was corrupt in Israel. Every bit of it when Jeremiah was talking to them. America's just like Judah in that time. Filthy, corrupt, not listening, proud. America, this is you today. I'm calling upon Christians, I'm calling upon Jews, I'm calling upon everybody. You need to say in your heart, where is the Lord? And stop hating everybody and being divided. Get into the Word of God and study it. Now there's Jews that study the Scripture all the time. They don't even have to fight in war. And they still don't know the Messiah. Now they know. They know the prophecies, but they don't know the Lord. But they will. Paul talks about that in Romans 11, that God has not cast off Israel. So in Isaiah 51, 9 through 10, this is down the road a little bit, Isaiah 51. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, and that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? Now Isaiah is talking directly about the miracles that the children of Israel went through. And you know the Rahab the harlot, you know, she ended up escaping what was coming on her town. Because she had received him, and she received him by faith. And so you look at this, and this is, you know, are you not it which dried up the sea? You are the same group. You belong to the same one. See, look back on your forefathers. That's what Isaiah is telling them. Look back on them. But the problem of it is the priests didn't say, where is the Lord? They didn't ask about all the former times. The people didn't ask about the former times. Because they lost it. And in America, do we talk about the former times? No, we talk about other things. We are utterly forgotten it. And we have churches today that have fallen off the traditional faith. And we're right in the midst of the coming of the Dark One, which will bring deception. And in 2 Thessalonians 2, God talks about this great deception that's going to be happening because they received not the love of the truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have eternal life. There is a whole generation of kids and people today that don't know the Lord. Now, there's revivals going on right now, but we need a lot more, because you got a lot more pagans out there. You got Americans that are pagans. You got this nation going to hell. You have got abortion lovers. You've got people that are murdering on your streets. You have people going into stores that are stealing and think it's okay. You have got a mess here, and you turn around and you look to this corrupt Congress, and you think that they're going to solve it for you. Congress is not going to solve this for you. I'm telling you today, you'd better wake up. There are revivals going on all around America, and if you want to get saved and want to know someone who knows what's going on, you better get in there. And I'll say amen to that.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 31, 6 through 7. Be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. And that's what the Lord is telling before you go into the promised land. Be strong and of a good courage, fear not, don't be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now see, Christian today, that's what you have to understand. You know, go as Christians today and be strong and of a good courage, fear not. And Moses called unto Joshua in verse 7 and said unto them, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. So Moses went up and died on the mount. He was never able to step into the very land that he brought the children of Israel to, all because he struck the rock twice. God has a heavy penalty for his prophets that don't listen. And Joshua, now by this, he's an old man, him and Caleb. They're the two original ones. The others got destroyed because of their unbelief. So now, verse 12 then, he continues, Isaiah continues in this thought from verse 11, that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them. Now you see, when he says his glorious arm, that is who Moses was to the Lord God, because God uses his prophets. And they listen to him. They have direct communication with him. He knows exactly what the Lord wants him to do. And so he divided the water and to make himself an everlasting name, that's the Lord God, that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before him to make himself an everlasting name. And there's no doubt that they were to remember the past, the days of old, and believe the Lord. Don't think about all the times you were corrupt and fell away from the Lord. That's under the blood. But just make sure it don't happen again. And follow the Lord. In Isaiah 41, 10 through 13... You know, when we talk about the Jews, here's a few scriptures. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. Now, these are promises to the Jews who were exiled in Babylon for 70 years. And remember, God selected the Jews in the beginning, and he delivered them after a long captivity in Egypt, and he led them around for 40 years. They finally got into the promised land. But then there came a time when not only the northern tribes backslid, but there came a time when Judah itself, the very house of David, backslid. And they went in for 70 years. That's a good generation. And in Babylon. And so God brought them out. He delivered them. So they're a special, they were a special people. God had a relationship with them. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded, and they shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. In other words, if they try to make war, stop them. And thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. In other words, the enemies came to naught. And they did. Israel was able to go back. Now, there were people that opposed them when they went back, but they overcame all that. In Isaiah 41, the deliverance of captive Judah, they were to remember in later years, but now they are to trust the Lord. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand have I have holden, to subdue the nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. And this is how God is working. He worked through Cyrus, and he enabled Cyrus to not only win, but to deliver his people and to judge Babylon at the same time. And so, you know, when it says loose the loins of kings, and remember, Jerusalem has a number of gates. Now, the east gate, they actually shut. The eastern gate is the one that the Lord, as a Messiah, when he comes again, when he comes, is supposed to walk through the eastern gate. Now, I don't know, I haven't seen anything on that, whether he walked through the eastern gate when he was here as the Messiah. The next time he comes, he's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Psalm 136, 13 through 16. And the psalmist here again is reminding Israel what the Lord...
What is that again, Psalm 1?
136, 13 through 16. And verse 13 through 16. To him which divided the Red Sea and departs, for his mercy endureth forever. I like this verse here. This is a real good psalm. Because after every stanza, it's his mercy endureth forever. And they would sing this thing. I mean, this is really good. To him which divideth the Red Sea and departs, for his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever. And you see, it's talking, that gives his authority. He has authority. He made Israel to pass through the midst of it, but it was his mercy which flows out of his love that made this possible. And then from the mercy, that's where the grace flows out of. But over through, and then of course the faith for us flows out of all of that. So, but over through Pharaoh and his hosts in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. Now you note, Israel is not fighting. God is doing the battles. Do you understand that? To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. Now see, the issue that I have today, I think, that bothers me the most, is that globally Christians are killed more than any other oppressed people. And we report on them all the time. And you get over in Nigeria, you get in India, you get in Pakistan. There's a lot of places where Christians are murdered, their women are raped, and sometimes forced into marriage. I mean, a lot of horrible things are happening. And the thing that I see here is that we need to get to the point, and I think we're going to see it during the tribulation. I mean, if we're, and of course, you could have a pastor believes you're all going to be taken up in the rapture, and that's fine. You know, I'm ready to go whenever the Lord comes. I don't get into that. You want to get into it, get into it. And there's reasons for that. I can tell you them at another time, but not now. So at any rate, let's go to Isaiah 63:13. That led them through the deep as a horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble. That led them through the deep. He led them through the waters, through the wilderness. You know, 40 years they wandered around. You know, he took them right to the promised land, but the ten spies, they all, eight of them came back with a bad report, and two of them, Joshua and Caleb, was ready to go invade and get their land. But the eight turned the hearts of all of Israel, and they wouldn't go. And so that's why they ended up wandering about the, you know, the wilderness for 40 years. But they finally made it through the wilderness, thank the Lord. And when they entered this time, they were ready. Because in those 40 years, God showed them what he was capable of doing. And he kept them, and he fed them, and he guided them. And they could visibly see him as they, you know, they had the fire of the Lord leading the way. So, I mean, when you put this into context that we're looking in Isaiah, and we're looking in chapter 63, we're looking at a people that have been judged, that have backslid, that have had greater victories than any nation on earth. There's not a nation on earth today that has the history of deliverance as Israel does. Not one. Not America, not Russia, not China, none of them. And these things have been kept as record from time immemorial. Forever. And so, when you get to this point, you're in chapter 63, he says, before I close the book, do you remember? Do you remember God leading us through the waters, and it opened up and we didn't get wet? And our horses and chariots and everything, all the things we had made it through. While the chariots and horses of the bad guys from Egypt got stuck in the mire and never made it. God delivered them. In Psalm 106:9, and here's more of the same thing, and you're going to find a lot of this stuff. Psalm 106:9, he rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up, so he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And Habakkuk 3:15, thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters, through the middle of them. And this is all, you know, what it says to Christians is, this tells you how God was faithful and what God did. And when he sent his son to die on the cross, he made it that all people everywhere could become redeemed and saved and have a relationship with him. And yes, we've got tribulation coming. We've got the wrath of God tribulation. We have got the Antichrist. We have got millions of illegals in America. We have got sin. We have got hatred. We've got murder. We've got everything you could think of in this country. And if God led Israel and took care of them for all that time, he can take care of you. He can take care of your family. But make no mistake, there is a little thing you need to understand. is that there are going to be those people who are martyred. Revelation 12:11, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Because you have to go with God. The servant is not greater than the master. They hated the Lord, they'll hate us. But us has the God of all gods. The Muslims don't have the God of all gods unless they receive the Lord. And we're getting mighty reports all the time of Muslims coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, Yahshua HaMashiach. Now Israel will recognize the Messiah. They will see him again, and they will have a great repentance. But this is the difference. In Isaiah 63:14, as the beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord causes him to rest. So did you lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. And it's, you know, you see this a lot, to make thyself a glorious name for his glory. And even the Lord prayed about that when he's praying to his Father, you know, about glory for the Father. And the Lord would, our Father would say, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. You know, and you and I have not even begun to see the treasures and the glory of this God to whom through Yahshua Jesus Christ we have been redeemed. So we could have a relationship with this God. We haven't seen him and we believe. Blessed are those who believe and do not and have not seen. For they are blessed, the Lord says. And so at the end of that verse it says, so didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. And he did. I mean, I think that's exactly why God led the pilgrims and others to this land to bring a gospel of redemption. Now, there is no doubt, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, that this nation's roots is rooted in Christianity and the faith of Christ. Now, you can hem-haw around, you can read all kinds of liberal books, you can talk to all the crooks you want to, but the truth is, this land is not yours. This land is God. God owned it, God created it, and he gave it to people who were suffering from persecution. And they came to this land and they prayed little prayers. God, if you'll bless us, we'll honor you. If you will help us, we will honor you. And that's what they did. And over time, crooks came in. And over ages and ages, wickedness and corruption entered in. It entered into Israel the same way. Because there's a real devil and real hell, there's a real heaven, and there's really liars and thieves and people that want to destroy. Six 63:15 says, look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. Where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me? Are they restrained? Well, you see, one thing about Israel, during 70 years, they were in captivity for sin. The northern tribes were totally carried away, and they're scattered among the nations. But God looks down. But see, the thing of it is, Israel needs to do something too. You need to look to the Lord. Not mere sounding board, not mere words, but things from the heart. In Joshua 22:4, "And now the Lord your God has given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get you unto your tents, and unto the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of Jordan." Now see, this is Joshua speaking to the children of Israel, and they have, you know, they're the ones that are going to go. They're the ones whose steps are going to go across Jordan for the first time, and they're going to get into the promised land. But on the other side, they've got to do some work. And you have to have faith. 2 Samuel 7:23, "And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible, for thy land before thy people which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods." Now see, you can look at Israel today, and they've got enemies everywhere. Hamas came and slaughtered their women, their children, in a horrific manner. You wouldn't see any civilized nation doing that. But Hamas did. Israel had no choice but to go after them, to protect themselves, and to get the captives back. But I can guarantee you that Joe Biden doesn't have a clue what he's dealing with. This is not Israel, just some Jewish nation. This is the Israel of old. And they are going to come into the covenant, and they are going to know the Messiah, Yahshua. And they are going to see him coming in the clouds. But their sufferings are not over yet. There's more things to come. And see, that's who we're dealing with when we read in the end of the book. This is what Isaiah is saying. You know, he's coming to the end, and he's encouraging them. Remember who you are. And to the Christians in America, you need to remember who you are and who your God is. You need to remember from whence you have fallen. You're not going to be able to clean these streets up. But you take anointed men and women of God with the power of God behind them, then yes, they can clean it up. Because only God can clean up, because some of these people are defeated. Without hope, nowhere to turn to, have no clue. Many others are just plain deceived, listening to the devil. Some of them are possessed, a good many of them are. And they're teaching your children and your children's children blasphemy and godlessness. And this government up here that we have in D.C. and the judicial appointees and the judges, they are corrupt. This is not the America of which I've spoken about. But this is the America which God told me many, many years ago. He says, America as you know it will cease to exist. And I said some time ago, that prophecy that God gave me, and I'm talking many, many years ago, over 50 years ago, it has come to pass, because this is not the America that I was raised in. And these are people, many of them, who are longing for the reign of the devil. At any rate, let's move on. Isaiah 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Now that's us today, but that's also Israel through the covenant they had. God likes to have the accepted people who are his beloved. And it's going to happen. Jew, Gentile, male, female, they shall all be one in Christ. And we will march up to Zion. We'll go through the gates. We will see the temple of the Lord. And the Lamb shall be the light thereof. Ephesians 1, 10 through 12. Speaking of Christians again. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth and in him, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. That's us. But that's also Israel, because there are Jews, Messianic Jews, lots of them, and they're living in Israel. There's lots of Muslims who have come to trust in Christ, and they live all over the globe, and they are in Muslim nations. Matter of fact, I just read about one today who got saved. And he has a radio broadcast now, listened to by countless, by multitudes of Muslims. And he has led, I don't know, countless Muslims, multitude of Muslims to the Lord through his broadcast. And he hated Christians at one time. But the Lord woke him up. This is the Lord's doing. I mean, that's the way it is. You know, and it really doesn't matter what you think about it. I mean, you can say, well, I don't believe. I don't care. You know, God's a liar. You know, it doesn't matter what you say. Because the Lord's going to do what is in his will. And that's as simple as that. Whether you like it or whether you don't. Whether the Jews like it, you know, and we're talking about some of those that are real zealous, ultra-Orthodox. But when they see the Messiah come, you'd have to be really hard-hearted not to believe. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your mercy tonight. I pray for all of those that listen to this broadcast, whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Gentile, whether you're Muslim or whether you're Christian, the world is going to be in a heap of tribulation. You cannot live by fear. If you're a Jew, God will reveal himself to you, and you will see his Messiah. To the Christians, you have already known the Messiah. Read Romans chapter 11 to the Jews. even though you don't like the Bible, get it and read it. And get into, there's a lot of the Word of God that tells us about the Messiah. He's there, and he has already come. But he's coming again. And everyone else, I suggest you awaken to the Lord. I mean, it's a strong suggestion, but you know, you got to make up the decision for yourself. Revelation 22 tells us that. If you want to be wicked still. If you want to be righteous, you can be righteous through Christ, through the Messiah, Yeshua. Awaken to truth and cast aside doubt and hatred and the unclean thing, and seek him with all your heart. Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you for those who will hear whenever they do. Dear God, have mercy on them, help them, lead them to yourself through Yeshua, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Help them to understand. Reveal yourself to them and save them, Lord, in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word in Jesus' name. Okay, Tower, we got a couple of minutes.
Amen. Okay, well, I'm really thankful for the Lord. I thank God for his sacrifice for us, and for the Lord Jesus sacrificing himself for us also. It's just amazing what the Lord has done for us and what he's still doing for us, and that he's always there. Our hope is in him, and I'm thankful for that. And so thank you for joining us whenever you do. Please feel free to write us, and we'll pray for your requests, and we love hearing from you. And we always hope the best for you in Christ Jesus. Please pray for your brethren around the world, and pray for us as we pray for you. We thank God for you. We love you. Good night, everybody.
Don't forget to go by our websites at warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Listen to the shows, read the articles, and we have a lot of new, different kinds of articles because I've been including some of the Psalms and the prose and the other things I've written many, many, many years ago. So until next time, may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May his face lighten the path. So you know where to walk. May you hear the word of the Lord. Seek him with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit. And may God protect you and your family from all evil and all harm. In Jesus' name, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Son of Almighty God, who is the Almighty in Revelation chapter 1. Until next time, be safe. Be blessed. Shalom, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Warn Radio.